Go ahead and open your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians, if you will, chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, will be where we will start out tonight. And I say that because we will be actually looking at a few verses in the next few chapters in the book of 1 Corinthians. And I will kind of start out with this caveat somewhat. I hope you don't mind, and I hope you don't get angry with me, upset, when I try to be very plain in my approach. I'd rather not beat around the bush when I'm talking to you. I'd rather just be plain and out in the open. And I'm going to also trust that you don't mind me dealing with some hot-button issues tonight that most preachers will avoid. I don't think there's anything that we ought to avoid. And some of the issues, though, I'm going to talk about tonight are some hot-button issues. I also will confess to you that many of the principles I'm going to talk about tonight, I violate all the time myself. Now, how's that for starting out a message? But I violated them a lot in my life in the past, and I fear I do in the present, and I'm sure I will even in the future as long as I'm in the body of this flesh. But that does not mean that we should not preach them and teach them. In fact, it means we probably should preach them and teach them more. The more we hear them, the more we preach them, the more we teach them, perhaps the more we'll start practicing them. Now, so I throw all that in just to kind of set you up. You have no idea what I'm going to be talking about, do you? 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 is where we'll start out tonight. And I'm going to kind of do a scripture toss tonight. I'm going to be very brief by design, planning on it anyway. You don't have to preach 40 or 45 minutes, preachers, every time you get in the pulpit. You don't use a lot of filler to try to just take up time. If it takes you 15 or 20 minutes, that's fine, as long as you can get your message across. Well, I'll do it in 20 or 25 minutes, I hope. But I'm going to do a scripture toss to you tonight. And I'm going to be talking about what I would call some principles for proper practice, some positive principles for proper practice. Now, that's a long-winded title. The title's longer than the sermon. That's a mouthful. But basically what I'm going to try to show you folks is that if the Word of God lays down some principles that as believers we ought to use as a guide in our life. Now, I'm just going to tell you, and I think you'll agree with me when I say this, but beloved, the Word of God ought to be the guide in every decision, in every choice that we make in our life. I hope you will agree with that. Now, there have been many times in my life that I have not practiced that. And I want to tell you, many times in my life, I've gotten myself into a fix because I have made a decision or I've made a choice without first consulting the Lord and without consulting the Word of God. But listen, the Word of God ought to be our guide in every, I'm talking about every single decision and choice that we make in our lives as believers. We ought to base it upon what the Word of God says. You understand, folks, this is the Word of God. And the Word of God, it is not outdated. This book, it is very current, you understand. It is not outdated. It is not antiquated at all. And we are to follow this guide in every decision, every choice that we make in our lives. You will agree with that. However, there are times, the problem that we run into and the dilemma that we run into as believers is that the Bible by design does not address every single issue specifically that you might face in this life. Understand what I'm saying. The Bible does not name it by name. There are many issues the Bible never does address, you know. Now, we do know, for example, that there are eternal laws in the Word of God that are without, they do not change. I mean, God lays down some very clear do's and don'ts for us today. And listen, there is no room for argument whatsoever, not even any room for debate on these eternal laws that God has laid down. Thou shalt not kill. That's pretty clear. We know that that means thou shalt not commit murder, you know. And that is very clear. There is no room for debate. There is no room for questioning that very clear command of God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. No matter how much you try to squirm around that, that is a very clear command. It leaves no room for debate, no room for question whatsoever. Thou shalt not steal. That's a very clear command in the Word of God. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That means you should not lie. That is very clear. That is a clear command. There is no room for doubt. There's no room for debate, no room for argument whatsoever. Those are the eternal laws that God has laid down. The dilemma that we face is that there are some things that we have to make decisions about in our lives that really the Word of God does not address specifically. Am I making sense? And there's a good reason for that. Can you imagine a man in the 15th century and the confusion in his mind if the Word of God said, listen, you should not attend a movie theater? He would say, what's a movie theater? You know, or you should not play cards. And I don't know if they had cards in the 15th century or not. Maybe they did. I don't know. But if they didn't, he'd be mildly confused by that. You know, you should not go above the speed limit. What, you know, the man in the 15th century would say, what is a speed limit? You know. And there's all kinds of things that we can come up with that the Bible does not address specifically to me, but yet I am required to make decisions based on what I find in the Word of God. And what drives me crazy is that we have some preachers who stand in the pulpits today and preach against many of those things as if they are very clear, established laws in the Word of God. They do not have the right. They do not have the authority to say, man, if you do those things, why, you're ungodly and you're unspiritual. And yet, folks, what has harmed our Baptist churches in many generations is our preachers have stood up and said, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, and they don't have a very clear command in the Word of God. You better be careful when you do that, you see. So the dilemma is, what do I do when the Word of God does not address something specifically, you know? And now, I've had people come to me all the time. Preacher, is this all right for me to do? Is it right for me to do this, or is it right for me to do that? And honestly, many times, I don't have chapter and verse to point them to say it is right or it is wrong. Now, here's what you've got to understand. I hope I'm setting this up, and I hope if you start to get a little aggravated at me, that's good. I hope you'll go study, because when I get into this, I'm going to address some issues that most preachers want to stay away from today, except unless they want to attack somebody who's doing it. Now, here's what you got to understand, folks. The Bible, by and large, is not so much a book of rules and regulations. Now, there's some of that. But the Bible, by and large, is not a book of do's and don'ts all the way through. It is not just a list of laws and rules and regulations. Rather, the Bible really is a book of principles. Now, I'm glad for that because, listen, you can always find loopholes in laws, can't you? In fact, people do it all the time. That's what we are good at finding loopholes, you know, in laws and in rules and regulations. I want to tell you, it is very difficult to find a loophole in a principle, you know. For example, as I said, the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. Now, if I were to ask you then, that's very clear. That's a clear command, doesn't leave a lot of room for debate. However, you might find some loopholes in that. If I were to ask you, is it ever okay for you to lie? you know. Most of you would say, well, no, it's never all right to lie. I would say to you, sometimes it's safer if you lie than tell the truth. You say, preacher, I can't believe you would say that. Well, let me tell you something. The next time a woman asks you, does this dress make me look fat? You go ahead and tell her the truth and see what happens to you. I'm going to lie through my teeth, you know. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I have used this illustration before, but if somebody broke into my house and I hid Belinda and Renee in the attic or something upstairs, and that fellow sticks a gun in my face and said, is there anybody else in this house? Now, brother, you might be more spiritual than I am, but I'm telling you what, I would lie through my teeth, you know. Yeah, what I'm saying, there's loopholes that you can find sometimes in laws, and we're good at that. But let me tell you something. When it comes to a principle, it's harder to do. So I'm going to give you some principles tonight that will help guide you in some of these questions that we have. Is it right for me to do this, or is it not right for me to do this? Let me give you a real life example. Back in 1908, there was a football game between Carlisle and Harvard University. They were bitter rivals back in 1908. The week before that game, Carlisle played Syracuse University in a football game. And now the coach for Harvard, they said, was a purist. He went strictly by the rule book. He knew the rule book front, forwards, and backwards. And he went strictly by that rule book. However, the coach for Carlisle was the famous Pop Warner. Pop Warner, he knew the rule book, but he was always looking for ways around the rules in the rule book so that he might win. Well, the week before he played Harvard, it said that Carlisle, Pop Warner sat up all night, read the rule book, and trying to figure a way he can beat Syracuse. And so he figured out something that he could go by the rules and still get a win. What his team did, they went in and they sold brown football emblems on the front of all their jerseys, big old football emblems. And so Syracuse then could not really tell who was carrying the ball. And Carlisle whipped the pants off Syracuse. Well, the next week they would play Harvard, and the coaches met the night before, and the Harvard coach said, now, are you going to wear those same uniforms that you wore last week? Pop Warner tells him, he said, well, listen, I've read the rule book, and there's nothing in the rule book that says we can't wear those uniforms. Well, the coach at Harvard said, all right, that's fine. Now, Harvard was the home team. Their job was to provide the football. Harvard had bright red jerseys. And so what Harvard did, they went in. Here come Carlisle out the next day with their jerseys with the football, brown football emblem on it. Harvard painted all the footballs bright red so it would blend into their jerseys, and Harvard won the game. You see, folks, listen, you can always manipulate rules. You can always find loopholes in rules. You have a harder time doing that when it comes to principles. You know, I mean, is it all right for me to go to a movie theater? Is it all right to use tobacco in any form? Is it all right to listen to country music or listen to rock music? Is it all right sometimes for men to wear shorts or modest shorts? I don't know. You can go on and on. Is it all right? Is it wrong to touch alcohol in any form or in any situation? Now, I ask you those questions because, listen, I have those questions asked of me all the time. Plus, I hear preachers in our churches stand in the pulpit and declare and make those laws laid down, and they dare challenge anybody to question those laws. They even question your spirituality if you do any of those things. They question whether or not you are saved. And listen, they're doing so without scriptures that say yes or no. I know that. You know why? You know why I know that? Because I cannot find one single scripture that deals with many of those issues that we have made laws about today. And I got a newsflash for you, nor can you. And the reason you can't, because they're not in there, you see. So the question is, are those things right or are they wrong? You know, what I'm saying is that we don't have chapter and verse many times, but I tell you what we do have. We have some very clear principles that are laid down in the Word of God that still guides us in the decisions we make and the choices we make in our life. Am I making sense to you? Am I setting it up? I hope I've challenged you to think about some of these things. Tonight I'm going to give you five principles very quickly, and I'm not going to spend long on either one of them. I'm just going to give them to you. Write them down. You go back and study them more. I want to give you some principles that will help you in your Christian walk, making decisions, some positive principles for a proper practice. Now, number one, the first principle is found in my text, and it is the principle of expediency. Now, here's one of the first principles you need to apply in your life. When Paul said in verse number 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Now, if you're considering doing something in your life, and you really begin to wonder whether it is right for you to do or not right for you to do, apply this principle of expediency. In other words, you got to ask yourself a question: is what I'm about to do or about to partake of, is it expedient for me as a Christian to do? That's a good principle. In other words, really what it means, does it make sense for me as a child of God, as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, does it make sense for me to do or not do this thing? It is the principle of expediency. Now, brethren, I got to tell you, there are some things that I might not be able to show you chapter and verse for, but I'm telling you, there are some things that do not make sense for us as the children of God to do. You know, I believe it's Yogi Berra, the great catcher and also philosopher. He says, be careful if you don't know where you're going, because you might just get there. Don't make decisions about things in your life that may have long-lasting ramifications in your life. It does not make sense for a Christian to partake of those things. Now, there are a lot of things that may be scriptural for me to do. Perfectly all right. Lawful for me to do. But it does not make sense for me to do it. Give you an example. I'm really going to cross your eyes here. Do you know you cannot point to me a scripture that says thou shalt not gamble? It's not in there. But I'm not advocating you go out and gamble. It just does not make sense. I can give you the principle. And I'm trying to be honest with the Word of God. I'm not going to stand up here and say, the Bible says, man, it's a sin if you gamble. The Bible doesn't come out and say that. But I can give you a principle. Folks, the principle is that we should not tempt the Lord our God. Does gambling make you a good steward of what God has given to you? Do you dare take the gifts that God has given you and then waste them up on the gaming table? It may be lawful. You know what? I've not bought one lottery ticket in my whole life, and I ain't planning on buying one lottery ticket. It does not make sense to take the gifts that God has given me to use to provide for my family and waste it on the gaming table. So while I cannot give you chapter and verse, I can give you the principle in the Word of God that very clearly tells me I should not gamble. We were talking in before church this morning about cremation. I'll just be honest with you. I don't like cremation. And it ain't been that long ago when some Christian preachers would not even preach a funeral where somebody has been cremated. Now, it's the fad. I would not be surprised if not in the coming years if the government doesn't require cremation because it's easier to dispose of the body. But I despise cremation. But I don't have chapter and verse. However, I do have the principle, folks, that it is a principle in the Word of God that Christian people, God's people, returned to the earth from whence they came. They were buried. It was always the pagans. It was always the idolaters that burned the bodies. Their idea, their thought process was it would quicken the return of the spirit and the soul back to whatever they perceive heaven to be. But listen, I can't show you chapter and verse that it's wrong to practice cremation. And I've done funerals where there's been creation. I know cremation. I know of Christians who have been cremated. That doesn't make them any less of a Christian or any more of a Christian. I'm just saying there is a principle in the Word of God. Am I making sense? So the first principle is the principle of expediency. Whenever you are trying to decide whether this is right or whether this is wrong, apply that principle. Does it make sense to me as a child of God? Is it expedient for me to do this thing? The second principle is in the same verse, and it is the principle of enslavement. Write that down. When Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but listen, but I will not be brought under the power of any. It is the principle of enslavement. The idea is that we as God's people should not have anything that would control us in our life. Now, I know the way your mind works. I do. Because the first thing you start thinking about is what our preachers have pounded on from the pulpit for years. And I've heard it. They get up and talk about the addictive nature of tobacco and alcohol. And that's all they could talk about. And you know what? They were right. It's good advice. You know, not to be addicted to tobacco or to alcohol or any of those, what they call those vices that it was in. But listen, there's not any difference between someone's addiction to those things than your addiction to caffeine. Don't hear any amens. I see a couple head shaking. I was in Beckley, West Virginia one time, and a preacher got up there preaching, blended with me. And he was talking about, you know, how tobacco and all this stuff sends people to hell and how ungodly it was. And he weighed about 400 and some pounds. And I think, oh boy, you better practice shoving away from the table every now and then before you start preaching to somebody else. Now, as I said, I'm guilty of these things many times. I've got a very addictive nature. Man, I just quit Starbucks altogether. Not because I've laid off caffeine, but because I've laid off Starbucks. They're ungodly and they're wicked. And I said, so I'm not giving them my business anymore. But I still got to have my caffeine. And you know what? You can stand up and say, well, tobacco is wrong. And we've heard that in our church. I'm not advocating. Don't go get you a chew of tobacco or a cigarette or whatever it is. I'm not advocating you do that. But folks, before you start pointing out those things, you better check out yourself. Because all of us has this addicted nature. You see, the Bible says Jesus has set us free. But man, we immediately go right back and entangle ourselves in something that has us in bondage. One old preacher said, no man is truly free as long as he's dragging those chains along with him. You know? Now, so it is, folks, it is the principle of enslavement. Ask yourself, if this thing is going to take you into bondage. Are you with me? So we have the principle of expediency, number one. The principle of enslavement, number two. Go to the eighth chapter, and I'm going to show you the third principle, and that is the principle of example. In other words, remember, folks, in everything you do or say, people are watching you. They are. Now here's what, I'm going to read a couple places to you here, but just bear with me. I'm going to get through this as quick as I said I will, I hope. But this is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, very familiar text, but meat commendeth us not to God. Right? For neither if we eat or are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Do you really understand what Paul's saying? It does not matter. One way or the other. I wish you'd start applying this to some of the things you get so upset about. And you don't want to allow fellow believers to have liberty to make their choices. You want to look down your nose and charge them and, you know, judge them. Most of the things really does not matter. You worry about yourself. He says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Hey, folks, listen. People watch you. And what you got to ask yourself, not necessarily is this wrong or right, but what kind of an example am I setting for other people? In fact, not only ask yourself, is this harming me, but is it harming anybody else? Am I making sense? He said, for if any man see thee which has knowledge, sit at the meat of the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren, you wound the weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Man, I read that again. I've read that 100 times. I read it again just the other day as I was studying for this, and it hit me right here. I've set a terrible example many times. And you know what? I've sinned against Christ. That's what the Bible says. Now, there's another place. Let me read it to you. I've got it marked in Romans chapter number 14. Let me find it here. Verse 13. Skip down to verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. I wish you would listen to that. I wish we'd all listen to that. Our churches are full of hypocritical people who want to judge other brothers in the church. Paul said, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man be put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. You see the guideline? But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Do you follow the principle? It is the principle of example. First principle is the principle of expediency. Does it make sense for me as a believer? The second principle is the principle of enslavement. Will it enslave me to that thing? Third one is of example. What kind of example I'm setting? Number four, very quickly, the principle of edification. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here's another question to ask yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. In other words, ask yourself, is what I am going to do, is it helping or hurting? Not only is it helping or hurting me, not only is it building me down or tearing me down or building me up, but what is it doing to other people? The principle of edification. The last principle is the principle of evangelism. I read it in verse number 33. Even as I please all men and all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. I have had occasion in my Christian life, and I'm just airing my dirty laundry. I've had occasion in my Christian life when a lost person who's been around me for a period of time actually come up and said to me, I never would have guessed you were a preacher. That's a terrible, terrible thing to have said to me. Folks, is what you're doing or not doing, is it hurting in your evangelism, in your outreach to sinners? Now, those are five principles. I can't sit here and tell you. And I listed all those things. Could have listed many, many more. That man, we've stood up in our churches today and just pounded on. We don't have chapter or verse. However, I do have this. There are some principles in the Word of God. Number one, folks, is this expedient for me to do? Does it make sense? Number two, will it enslave me? Number three, what kind of example am I setting to other people? Number four, is it edifying to me or to other people? And then number five, will it affect my evangelism? Now, within the framework of those things, You use those as a guide for deciding, should I do this or should I not do this? But let me just say this, folks. The Bible is the guide in every decision, every choice that you make in your life. The Bible is the guide we should follow. And I've gotten myself in a mess so many times because I bullheaded my way through and making decisions without consulting God or without following the principles that's laid down in the Word of God. God help us that we don't become a reproach and a shame to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we don't harm our brethren. I hope I made sense. That's just a quick lesson. You take those five principles, go back and expand on them and study them yourself. But I can't give you chapter and verse for every situation, but I can give you principles. That's the gist of my message. Let's stand and I'll quit.